Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together, one frame at a time. Hey guys, I'm Randy Unger, and this is another episode of Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together, one frame at a time. And with me, yes, with me tonight, I have a good friend to the show, a good personal friend, just a good guy overall, Mr. Kevin Mascara. Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Hey, Randall, thanks for letting me join you yet again.
Yes, yet again. You know, you're always welcome. And I love the backdrop. That's really realistic. So tonight we're going to be talking about a movie that came out in 1999. It is now celebrating its 25th anniversary. It's not a very good film, but it is a fun film. And it is, of course, Wild Wild West. And it stars Will Smith and Kevin Kline as two early Secret Service agents in the Old West who must thwart a plot by an evil Kenneth Branagh, who wants to basically hold the United States government for ransom. And along the way, we have Smith and Kline teaming up reluctantly and basically embark on this adventure in the Old West and basically trying to save the president and the government. Now, the movie is not good, but I figured, you know, it is celebrating its 25th anniversary, and a lot of work did go into this movie. It's directed by the great Barry Sonnenfeld, who did the Men in Black movies and the Addams Family movies, among others. You've got a great score composed by Western veteran composer, the late great Elmer Bernstein, who did The Magnificent Seven. So this was one of his later scores, but it's a really good score. It's very fun. It's robust. It's got a great theme. And I must also mention the brilliant special effects at the, you know, done by Industrial Light and Magic. We've got some great CGI in this movie. And it was a year where CGI was very heavy in films like The Mummy and The Haunting. You know, there was just a bunch of other great ones too, but you know, again, not a good movie, but a fun one, and the elements are in place, though a bit scattered. But Kevin, initial thoughts, Wild Wild West.
I mean, I think this is easily one of the ones where even as a kid you knew it wasn't that great, it was entertaining, and then as you get older you reflect on it more. I mean, Wild Wild West, it's based on an old TV show, right?
Right.
I think the premise basically is if James Bond was a Western, and they definitely play up on that. We had some good individual acting, I'll say. Just I feel like everybody was basically participating in a different type of movie. I think Will Smith played a pretty head-on, pretty straight-laced. Depending on the scene, you got some Kevin Kline hamming it up or also playing it pretty straightforward. Didn't mention it before, but I got to say, you got to give Selma high credit for there. I think she definitely was entertaining. And then Kenneth Branagh was just there having the time of his life being as ridiculous as possible. So you got to appreciate for what it is. You're so spot on with the CGI. I think that's actually what hurts it. In such a CGI-heavy year for movies, this one, it's hard to say it holds up. Mm-hmm. I get it. Technology advances over time. But, hey, you just mentioned The Mummy. That one holds up a lot better.
True. And also, I didn't mention Galaxy Quest, which also had visual effects by ILM. And I think they look great here in Wild Wild West. I think the spider, the mechanical, gigantic spider that Kenneth Branagh pilots, I think for 1999, it looks good. And even for 2024, it looks pretty good too, in my opinion. And it's a lot of fun. The visual effects are there. I think they spent more time and attention to the technical aspects of the film, making it look good, making it look like an expensive movie. And I think they should have focused that energy into the script, because I think that's where this movie suffers.
I got to agree with you entirely there. I mean, it's decent premise, right? You took a little spin on the show. You have Jim West, Will Smith, right? He's African-American male, which was originally a white a role. And obviously there is a component of the Civil War, North and South, and that's what's really pushing it forward in terms of, you know, the tension, and then how Kenneth Branagh's character is trying to leverage that to kind of take over the country. It was too loosey-goosey for me. I agree with you. Respectfully, I'll disagree with you with the special effects. I think the spider is a good example of actually where it didn't work for me. Okay. Yeah, I thought it was a bit ridiculous and overdone. It makes me think of Kevin Smith and his wonderful little anecdote about that with him and Jonathan Peters. Quick summary there for the viewers is John Peters is the producer for this. Kevin Smith, way back in the day, and he, if you ever want to hear his description of this, it's going to be said 10 times better than mine. He wrote a script for what would have been the Nicolas Cage Superman that never went to fruition. And John Peters really wanted a giant spider in there, even though Superman has God knows how many different great villains. I mean, the closing on his summary is he ends up going to see Wild Wild West. And what does he see at the end? But a giant spider.
Yeah. Hey, he got his wish in some form. So good for him, you know. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to go back a little bit. So we've got Kevin Klein in a really funny role. I think he did a great job with this. And, you know, he was kind of goofy, but at the same time, deadpan. So mm-hmm. it was a nice balance of humor that he's established in this role. And I thought he was, along with Kenneth Branagh, my two favorite actors in this movie. I wasn't impressed with Will Smith. I've never really been impressed with his work, except for The Pursuit of Happiness and some other stuff. But this role could have gone to any other, like, popular leading man of 1999. But, you know, at the time they felt they're still riding the high off of the first Men in Black. This came out 2 years later, and Barry Sonnenfeld and him decided to collaborate once again, which I understand. But with Kevin Klein, they actually considered George Clooney for the part, which I don't know how I feel about that. I think that would have been interesting, but.
I mean, I don't see George Clooney as that great of a comedic actor. He's usually the straight man. So if Will Smith is essentially the straight man in this one, where oddly enough, he does have comedic chops with Fresh Prince, but if he's playing the straight, then you can't have two straight men in this movie, especially if it's supposed to be an entertainment, like action comedy type flair. Somebody's got to be the goofball.
True. I agree. And I think they did a great job picking Klein. Also Matthew McConaughey and Johnny Depp were considered for the role. So, yeah, very interesting trivia there.
Yeah, I mean, that's that would be a completely different movie. I mean, once again, I think this is where I agree with you 100%. Wild Wild West, is it the greatest movie in the world? No, but there are so many legends. There's so many little stories that came out from this. So we just talked about Kevin Smith and John Peters and the spider.
Right.
Well, the other major rumor is Wild Wild West, and frankly, how not great it was and how much it tanked in the box office was Will Smith had a different option, mm-hmm. and that would have been The Matrix. So, you want to talk about different stories, different trajectories? There you go.
Oh, like, Jesus.
This movie keeps giving in all different ways.
It's a gift that has many layers.
Oh, yeah.
I think I have heard of that Will Smith Matrix casting consideration, but yeah, that would have been a train wreck. No pun intended, because this movie has a lot of train action. So another thing I wanted to mention was that back in 1999, when this movie came out, it came out around the same time as South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. And since I believe this was rated like PG or PG-13, I think PG, kids, teenagers specifically, I believe, would buy tickets to Wild Wild West and then sneak into South Park. And I don't blame them. I mean, that's a really smart tactic.
To be honest with you, I don't think the studio cares. We know who's getting the money for it. So
they don't care how they're making their money. Yeah. Yes.
So for the younger audience members, this is pre-assigned seating for movie theaters.
Right, right.
Just show up.
It was a totally different world.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. But yeah, 1999 was an interesting year for film.
Well, The one thing I did want to mention, because you talked about music here, and I think this is where you and I differ, but you got to give credit to Krez too. I am a Will Smith fan, or was. I know things are a little shaky for him nowadays, we'll say. the slap.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, well, of course. one of the best things about being a fan of Will Smith back in the late 90s was you not only got a Will Smith movie, you would get a Will Smith song with the movie. And I will say, and I think most of America will agree with me, Wild Wild West, the song, 10 times better than the movie. You have Will Smith rapping. You have Drew Hill.
Right.
And just to give you a little clarity, Randall, because I know you're not as big on the pop music, Drew Hill has Cisco. So this is Cisco 1 year before...
Song. Right? Yeah.
Okay, excuse me. All right.
I know what's going on. I know a little bit.
And hey, that is one catchy song. So though I respect that you enjoy the score, I think the best thing Wild Wild West gave us was the song, the pop song Wild Wild West.
it was very popular during the time. I think it was on the Billboard, it was like at the top of the Billboard charts. You know, you would hear it at like proms and like parties and weddings and stuff like that. And it is catchy even to this day, you know, you kind of like bop your head to it a little bit. So yeah, that's pretty cool. I don't think Smith has really done much, in terms of, songs, in movies since then. Right. Or,
I mean, he had the run with the Men in Black movies,
right?
He had, this. And then, yeah, I mean, his later work, they were dramas and such. I don't recall any big song since. It might have actually been Men in Black 2, might have been the last movie song collaboration, we'll say. Because he's obviously done, actually, I don't think he's even done that much music since. So I'll take that back. It's been a while.
I think this was like his last great movie-inspired hit, if I'm not mistaken.
I could be. Did Men in Black 2 come out yet?
Men in Black 2 came out in 2002, so 3 years after this.
So that was a hit, just not as big. That was Nod Your Head, The Black Suit's Coming, if I remember correctly. So there you go. But yeah, this was probably definitely bigger than that.
Yeah, agreed. But aside from that rap song, Elmer Bernstein, fantastic score. He actually did the score for Ghostbusters, among many others. So
that's why you're a fan. Now I see it.
No, but the Wild Wild West score has a very strong main theme, the main title. It's very, very rousing and triumphant, which I look for in a score. You don't hear a lot of that nowadays, but Elmer Bernstein, rest in peace, good sir. Now, this movie is a Western, not a very good one, but... Just talk about some other Westerns out there, some better films. Kevin, off the top of your head, some of your favorite Westerns?
Well, I mean, this is weird, right? I will say I'm a fan of movies. I give you the credit for knowing the history of movies much more. So when I think of Westerns, I think more modern.
Yeah.
Ones that just on top of my head, easiest one is probably Back to the Future 3, Western inspired there. You know, Back to the Future being my favorite movie. So the connection, yes, right there over your, left shoulder? There you go. I mean, other than that, though, I have to say just even more recent, Django was great.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino there. And one that really sits near and dear to my heart as a child that people probably don't associate as a Western, even though West is in its name.
Mm.
Very underrated. I will die on that hill.
Five-O Goes West.
Didn't think I was going to go that way, did you?
No, I had no idea. Wow. You pulled that out. Yeah.
That is a fine movie. I will support that movie till the end.
And I think in some ways better than the original American Tale.
More
interesting, actually. Better character development, for the cartoon cats and mice. But and I think that was James Stewart's final role. He was the voice, I think, of the sheriff. And I believe John Candy was also, he had a voice role in that. And of course, a great score by the late, great James Horner. Westerns typically have good music, apparently. I don't know why. It just it's a very conducive environment for for good music.
I
But
can see that, yeah.
American Tail's good. Back to the Future 3, also very good. It's my least favorite of the trilogy, to be honest with you, but it's
Most
not a bad
people.
movie at all. No, it's a fun movie, and I
Puts a
think
bow on everything. That's where you got to look at it, yeah.
Zemeckis did a great job wrapping everything up and telling a really strong story, which is kind of like the 1885 equivalent of the first movie, you know, trying to get back in time, trying to devise a plan of successfully traveling back to the present. So, and along the way, you got great production value. I mean, it looks great. It looks like it's set in 1885. So I give the production design crew all the credit for that. Same with Wild Wild West. I think this movie looks pretty good. They shot this in somewhere out west. I forget where, but there are a couple of scenes where they filmed it like on a ranch and to make it look as authentic as possible.
Well, authentic with quotes, right? Because they still movie-fied it. And we talked about this. There's obviously a steampunk vibe to it.
Oh yeah.
So it's Western with this modern twist. But it worked for them. It did. I mean, for the story, it had to. Like, how else are you gonna have a giant spider?
Exactly. And I really love that. Like I know you and I, we're not very technical when it comes to like engineering or like especially with steam engines, and this movie is very steampunk heavy. And the spider is, and a few of the other thing, you get the trains as well. They're all run by steam. And I'm going down a rabbit hole here with something. I'm
The
not
steam, steam, steam.
steam. Hey.
Steam, of course, steam.
So
Well, we don't talk about other things. Yes, the train was great. It had all these little gadgets within there, right? If you want to go more low tech, my personal favorite, just basically the name I still remember, oddly enough. I don't remember too much about that movie, though. I just saw it again recently, is The Impermeable, his bulletproof vest. And it was a great plot device in the whole movie. But you mix that in there, you mix the giant robot, and then even the devices they had around their necks to
Right, the
kill them with
magnet.
the magnets. I mean, yeah, they found fun ways to make it somewhat realistic that this could exist in the West.
No, they did a very, very good job with the technology. It seemed very believable. It was just that Barry Sonnenfeld, the director, he really, it's so obvious that he tried to like, you know, extend that success of Men in Black, but just bring it to the Old West. And that, in my mind, it was kind of lazy, but at the same time, you know, they're out here to make money, these studios, so it's a formula that works.
But see, that's exactly where now when we talked about the casting, it doesn't make sense to me, right? We have a guy who had a success with Men in Black. You had a buddy flick right there, right? I mean, there was sci-fi, but it was still buddy. You had Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith. Will Smith is a zany guy. Tommy Lee Jones is a straight-laced man. Let's replicate that again in the West. Let's get one of the same actors in it, but flip his role entirely. More of a reason why Will Smith should have been the crazy guy.
Agreed. Yeah, I think if they flipped their roles, it would have been a little more interesting. However, I really think Klein sold it. I think he
Oh,
did a
yeah.
great job. I think he was almost perfect in a way. And it was really nice to see him in a role like this.
Well, I know one of your favorite movies of his is, I think, one of his greater, more entertaining performances, A Fish Called Wanda.
Love
He's
that movie.
brilliant.
Well, this is one of his best, but I think A Fish Called Wanda is his best. That, along with maybe The Big Chill and In and Out. You know, the man is, he has range. He could be very serious, but he's mostly comedic, kind of like sort of like sarcastic, almost not, I wouldn't say self-deprecating, but he's got a very dry sense of humor, you know. And
Oh, yeah.
I think this is one of his last great, I think is one of, this might be his last like blockbuster, if I'm not mistaken. But he would move on, go on to later play Belle's daughter, Belle's, excuse me, Belle's father in The Beauty and the Beast live action remake.
Oh, yes.
Which
Wow.
was, it was an okay performance, but I don't know. I wasn't really totally invested in that movie as a whole, kind of like Wild Wild West. But that was.
I I'm not too invested in any of the Disney remakes with people.
Yeah.
I've yet to find a go. So that I will not blame Kevin Kline for that. The man, as you said, has range. He's got talent. Mm-hmm. He was one of the better parts of a mediocre film like Wild Wild West, as you're saying. So if he's mediocre in a movie, I'm not going to blame him still, because he can usually elevate things.
Agreed, agreed, agreed. And also, since we're on the topic of live-action Disney remakes, Kenneth Branagh directed the 2015 Cinderella, which was actually, out of all the live-action remakes, is currently my favorite. And by your expression, I don't think you saw it.
But... the thing is, there's a lot of Cinderellas.
Okay. That's,
is that the one with Brandy? Was that the made-for-TV movie, or is this a theatrical?
No. This was later. This was later. I think that was a TV movie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
No. This was in theaters. It was 2014 or 15. I think 15. And it starred Lily James as Cinderella, and Branagh directed it. And he comes from a Shakespearean background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's directed numerous adaptations of Shakespeare's works. And he approached this Cinderella sort of like from the angle of like a Shakespearean play. And it looks beautiful. Lily James is perfect in it. It looks good. And yeah, not a lot of people give that Cinderella credit because it is really strong.
I'm going to have to check this out.
Check it out.
I'm legitimately curious right now.
Yeah. It's like it came in and out of theaters. No one really noticed it. But yeah, it's very good. Oh, as for me, some of my favorite Western, I mean, I'm going to go the modern route too. A movie that is loaded with great talent. It's from 1995, called The Quick and the Dead. And it is directed by Sam Raimi, of all people. I think he produced before it, or around that same time, the Bruce Campbell Western, Briscoe, I think it was Briscoe County. And this had his signature charm, like weird camera angles, very quick cuts and zooming in on the characters. You've got Sharon Stone as this like gunslinger who basically moseys into a random Western town. She moseys. And the town is run by a corrupt and evil Gene Hackman, who basically has these gunfights in, you know, right outside the saloon, and basically has kind of like this business of, you know, and gambling business of gunslingers killing each other. You've got Russell Crowe. You've got Leonardo DiCaprio. You've got Lance Henriksen. I think Keith David's in it too, among others. And it is just a really, really good Western, modern day Western. You know, of course, we've got the spaghetti Westerns, which will stand the test of time. Those are classics. Anything with mm-hmm. Clint Eastwood in the 60s and 70s is great. And, you know, there's other stuff out there. I mentioned The Magnificent Seven, which mm-hmm. was scored by Elmer Bernstein as well. And yeah, you don't see a lot of good Westerns nowadays. It's kind of a lost art.
Well, I mean, I think it's just nowadays, it's all franchise, right? So mm-hmm. what Western still exists that you could franchise or repeat? I can't think of a good one right now.
Yeah. I don't know. And if they're going to do anything, it's just going to be a remake, which they did. They did the Denzel Washington version of The Magnificent Seven, which I don't think it was that good because it's not really sticking in my memory.
But, yeah, no, I know I watched it. I watched it, but I couldn't tell you what happened.
Right. I just remember that was one of James Horner's last scores. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, the Western, you know, there's some really good ones out there. I think Wild Wild West is not a very good one, but again, the elements are there. I just wish it was more cohesive, you know, it was sort of a lost opportunity, but.
Oh, definitely. I think you could see that just how much money they invested in this. Everybody thought it was going to be huge. Right. On paper, it sounded like it was going to be, but I mean, I think the takeaway really is Wild Wild West gave us three things that of value as far as I'm concerned. A good Kevin Smith story, a good pop song,
yeah,
and a good secondary story on what could have happened if Will Smith did not take this role.
true, yeah. And also, I know you don't really agree with me with the visual effects. I think they look good. I think they're mm-hmm. a lot of fun here. And I think McFarlane Toys should come out with a spider, toy, like, or at least a model or something.
Who's gonna buy
Who do you
it?
think? This guy.
I don't think anybody's asking for Wild Wild West memorabilia in 2024.
I am putting it out there in the universe. Please make that happen for the 25th anniversary of Wild Wild West. Let's get that spider toy. So, Kevin, we have like maybe like a minute or so left. Are there any movies coming out that you're looking forward to seeing?
Yeah, actually, it's oh my God, I'm blanking out on it. It's coming out in a few weeks. It's well, actually, no, I'll say this one that just it started premieres. I'm curious about the Bob Marley movie. I think that could be a fun biopic.
Sure.
Just great music. I'll admit this is a very well-known, significant person in pop culture that I really don't know much about. So I'd love to know what how that movie goes. Yeah.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that's coming out. Love Lies Bleeding. It's an upcoming thriller, which basically has Kristen Stewart, and who basically falls in love with this female bodybuilder, and I believe Kristen Stewart's father, played by Ed Harris, is after them. He's like a really shady individual, and some kind of plot regarding money. And it looks very good. Going to probably review it on the show in a couple weeks. And I'm just getting ready for the Oscars. They're coming up in less than a month. That should be a fun time. I also want to mention that last night I went to the Nighthawk Cinema in Williamsburg for a midnight screening of Big Trouble in Little China. And Kevin, are you familiar with that
Yes, I am. I'm actually more curious about what that audience looked like.
It was a full house.
Yeah.
It was like mixed, really, young people, whatever. And I went with some friends, and it was a lot of fun. I love John Carpenter. He's one of maybe my top five favorite directors. And yeah, this was one of his more fun movies. It wasn't like it wasn't horror, it wasn't sci-fi per se. It was more like martial arts, fantasy, adventure. And Kurt Russell was the lead. He was the hero of the story, and he was fantastic. It's from 1986. Those listening and watching, if you haven't seen Big Trouble in Little China, check it out. It's just a fun 80s adventure. And we are just about out of time here. Kevin, any plugs for you today, sir?
Honestly, now I think if anybody's curious, check out that Kevin Smith rant on Wild Wild West. It's worth the time to watch.
And I'm pretty sure they mentioned it. They actually made a full-fledged documentary about the whole story. I think it's called The Return of Superman Lives, or The Legacy of something regarding Superman Lives, the failed Nicolas Cage, Tim Burton Superman, which is pretty interesting. And yeah, we got to see the spider. It wasn't the way we wanted to see it, but we saw it. And John Peters, you got your wish, sir. If you want to see new episodes of Under the Radar on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, it's just every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Manhattan Neighborhood Network. Also, you can listen to Under the Radar on SiriusXM through Slam Radio SXM, and that is every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. So check that out. Kevin, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're awesome, and you're always welcome here. Of
Always a pleasure.
course. All right, guys. So that about does it. I'm Rand Younger. This has been Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together one frame at a time. Take care. Hey, thanks for watching this week's episode. And remember that you can find more Under the Radar on YouTube. Like, subscribe, and share with cinephiles in your life.